morning, Your Honors. My name is Walter Ames. I'm the attorney on this appeal for the appellants. Back in 632, Anno Domini, even before I practiced law in this court, and by the way, I was admitted in 1966, of all years, the Prophet Muhammad died. And as we know, the Shia went one way, the Sunnis went the other, and the rest is history. In 1999, Francisco Cole passed away. And his followers went one way. His acolytes said, "We're very sorry that our leader is gone, but we will continue with his business, his interlocking corporate structures that turned out to be fairly profitable, and we'll continue with them just as he had done." What they neglected to note was that Dr. Cole had left a will, and in it he left everything to his son, whose name was Francisco David Cole. So the estate of Dr. Cole said, "Well, it's fine, but you cannot use our trademarks, you can't use our copyrights, because they are all registered in the name of Dr. Cole himself." The acolytes did not quite see it that way. They became the defendants in this action, for it's resolved itself down to one simply for trademark infringement. Dr. Cole had 17 trademarks that he registered in his own name. The district court, after directing the parties to bring cross motions for summary judgment, held that Dr. Cole, in each of the 17 instances, had intended to register all these marks in the names of corporations, whatever they were, unknown corporations, and not in his own name. I think that although there are many facets to this case that make it fairly complicated, it can come down quite simply to this. Here we have a group of registered trademarks. The defendant appellees have never said, never intimated that they don't infringe the marks. They use the marks. The primary marks are Inner Peace Movement and Peace Community Church, although it's my understanding that, although I never met Dr. Cole, that this, rather than being a religious cult or anything like this, it was a lifestyle that he founded and that he got many followers for. The defendant appellees have never said they don't infringe the trademarks, and they do. They use the marks, Inner Peace Movement.
Which marks are at issue here? You move for summary judgment on Inner Peace Movement and Peace Community Church?
Yes, Your Honor.
What about the logos? Are they at issue here? You don't mention them in the brief. And are the logos not at issue? Do you concede that on that issue, on the trademark, on the logos?
I'm sorry, Judge, I didn't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. How's that? My question is, are the logos at issue here or just the two names?
In order to try to simplify it,
well, that's not a complicated question. Which is it? I mean, you didn't move for summary judgment on the logos, right?
The plaintiffs did not move for summary judgment on the logos.
Okay.
The plaintiffs only moved for summary judgment on the two primary marks here.
Okay, and you don't mention, so we're only talking about the two primary marks, right?
However, the defendants moved for summary judgment, it's my best recollection, on five marks, all registered, all in the name of Dr. Cole. So that those logos, the dove with the olive branch, they only come in on the defendants, the appellees' cross motion for summary judgment.
Right, but you're not challenging their ownership of the logos, right?
Oh, yes, we are.
You are?
Yes. Each of these registrations, there are 17 of them.
You just said you didn't move for summary judgment.
We moved for summary judgment on Inner Peace Movement and Peace Community Church.
And those are the ones you talked about in your brief?
Yes.
So what about the logos?
I believe that all of the registrations will follow whatever happens with Inner Peace Movement and Peace Community Church.
Well, my question is, are you're not conceding that the church owns the logos?
No, we are not conceding that. All of these 17 registrations were filed by Dr. Cole, and if you take a look at the applications, they are all, the applications are in his name. There are boxes that you check off, and that were not checked where it said corporation or partnership. In each case, the application clearly was that of an individual, in each of the 17. But most particularly in Inner Peace Movement and Peace Community Church.
I read your brief, like Judge, I think Judge Tatel's question suggested to mean that there are only two at issue here. No?
No, there are two at issue on summary judgment on the appellant's motion for summary judgment. We were directed by the district court to file cross motions.
Okay, so if that's true, then even if we reversed in your favor, we couldn't reverse and direct summary judgment for you because you haven't moved for summary judgment
only on the two. That's correct.
Okay.
Absolutely. All right. Anyway, here we have trademark registrations that were in existence for more than 5 years. And that is the big deal, frankly, here. Why even bother registering a trademark since there are common law trademarks? There are no common law copyrights, no common law patents, but there are still common law trademarks. And the defendants, the appellees, have said time and again they don't challenge the validity of the registrations. If they don't say they don't infringe and they don't challenge the validity, I believe it follows, I don't understand any way that it cannot follow that then you infringe the registered trademarks owned by the plaintiff's appellants. Now, the lower court apparently, but let me interject more, why didn't the defendants, the appellees, challenge the validity of the marks? If you get the registrations tossed out, then you could file your own application and it would proceed to registration. The reason they didn't, and they keep saying that they're not challenging the validity of the registrations, is because more than 5 years have gone by. And under 15 U.S.C. 1064, one of the benefits of registering a mark is that there is this, what I might call a statute of limitations on what defenses you can allege. Up until 5 years after registration issues, you can say that registration belongs to me. Well, the registration wouldn't, but you can say the registration is invalid because I used it first. That defense is not available when a registration has been extant for 5 years or more. In fact, the defenses that are available are quite few.
Isn't an application filed by a non-owner of a trademark void?
An application filed
by a non-owner is void.
Right.
You don't have to challenge it, right?
Well, somebody has to challenge it. I agree it's void ab initio.
It all turns on the question of ownership, not the registration, right? Does it?
Only the owner of a mark can file.
Yeah, but the question of who owns the trademark turns on ownership, not who registers it, correct? If a non-owner registers it, that doesn't mean the non-owner now owns the trademark.
Well.
Isn't that right?
It has to be challenged. If your defense is you didn't own the mark, so the wrong person filed an application, a non-owner, then you have to challenge the registration. You have to say it's invalid. It isn't just somehow of its own volition voided. You have to be able to come into court and say, wait a minute, I own it, you don't. But after 5 years, that defense is not available. You have to show fraud. For example, if Dr. Cole, who said time and time again he owned the registrations, if he were wrong, let's say, 17 times he was wrong, nevertheless, that would not be fraud, which is one of the anytime bases after 5 years that you can use to invalidate a registration. So in order for that registration to be invalidated, one would have to show that he knew he didn't own the registration when he said he did.
Let me stop you. Does anybody have any more questions?
No.
All right, you're over your time, but we'll give you a minute in response.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Mason?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, John Mason for the Appellees Inner Peace Movement and Peace Community Church. I'd like to address a few statements made by opposing counsel briefly. The lower court did not rule that Dr. Cole intended to register the other registered trademarks initially at issue in this case. The lower court dismissed them as a matter of law as moot to this case. This case is about four registered marks, the two corporate names and the two corporate logos. Mr. Ames further made a misstatement about Section 1064 of the Lanham Act, Your Honors, which states that a challenge to a registration can only be brought for fraud. It can also be brought where a registrant uses the registration and the mark to deceive the public as to the source of the goods or services provided in connection with them. Your Honors, the lower court properly held that appellees own their very names and trademarks and rejected outright all of appellants' arguments regarding defenses, trademark ownership,
Was the district court correct on his related party?
The district court was correct. If the district court had adopted...
A nonprofit can't be a related party?
That in these circumstances, that is correct, Your Honor.
Why?
Why do you mean these circumstances?
Yeah, because in these circumstances, the appellants are arguing that Dr. Cole controlled the nature and quality of the nonprofit appellees. However, it is the established law of every jurisdiction, including the District of Columbia, that nonprofit corporations are solely controlled by their boards of directors.
Well, but that's one source of control through the board of directors, but suppose Dr. Cole had an agreement with the nonprofits.
There's no evidence that he had an agreement.
Well, but suppose he did. Let's just stick with that. He wouldn't be disqualifying because they were nonprofits,
Your
right?
Honor, if he had such an agreement.
Would you just answer my question?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
If he had such an agreement, it would be premised on previous ownership and prior use of the marks.
Correct.
Because all ownership...
And there wouldn't be a defense based on the corporations being a nonprofit, right?
In that circumstance...
You can have an agreement with a nonprofit for use of a trademark, and that would be a related party, correct?
No, Your Honor, it would not be a related party. It would be a licensing regimen. And while the related party doctrine is related to...
Where do you get that in the language of the statute? It says, terms related company means... Any person whose use of a mark is controlled by the owner.
That's correct.
Isn't that what a license does?
That is correct. And the most important point of your statement, which is a good point, is that it's controlled by the owner.
Right.
Ownership of trademarks accrues only through use. The lower court held that it was undisputed that the appellee nonprofits have continuously used their marks for close to four decades in commerce.
But if there was an agreement between Cole and them allowing it, then... They wouldn't own the marks.
There's no allegation that there's such an agreement.
About all these letters?
Those letters occurred in the 1990s.
There's an agreement.
But there's no allegation anywhere in the record made by appellants that Dr. Cole used the marks prior to Inner Peace Movement and Peace Community Church.
Why would he have to if he had an agreement?
Yeah. There's no allegation of an agreement, Your Honor.
No, no.
Because prior to the incorporation...
He controlled it from, there is evidence in the record, in fact, the only evidence is that he controlled both from the beginning.
Well, there's evidence in the record that he was certainly played a vital role in the founding.
Not just vital.
A vital role. He was one of a number of founders. There's no allegation that he actually chose the names. There's an allegation that these corporations were incorporated in 1964 and 1965, respectfully, and in his own registrations, he indicates that the first use in commerce of the trademarks were the incorporation dates of the corporations. Before their incorporation dates, these trademarks were mere ideas. Once these nonprofit organizations were incorporated, they began using the trademarks in connection with their educational services.
But if he controlled the corporations, doesn't that get back to the related companies?
Your Honor, if the lower court had adopted a position that an individual who's a board member or officer of a nonprofit could control, absent any allegation of an agreement, the quality and nature of the services provided by the nonprofit, it would set an unacceptable precedent that directors and officers could act in their self-interest, adverse to the interest of the nonprofit corporations, effectively seizing those nonprofits' assets.
Well, I think you're painting a scare hypothetical, but this circumstance is just one person who effectively, the only evidence in the record, is effectively controlled this from the beginning.
Your Honor, there were board meetings every year. The appellees were thriving, going nonprofits. The law and facts are clear. Nonprofits are controlled by their boards of directors, and it's irrelevant whether one of those board members or an officer has more or less power or more or less input regarding the quality of the goods and services. To claim that they breached their fiduciary obligations in a manner that seizes the assets of the nonprofit corporations is a preposterous outcome.
What about the fact that the registrations are in his name and the box individual is checked?
Your Honor, it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant because the sole issue at heart in this case is who owns the trademarks. If the registrations issued in the name of the wrong registrant, who is not the owner, they are void and a nullity. The real issue is who owns the registrations. They may be correctable. We didn't move for summary judgment, the appellees, on whether they should be canceled or whether the court should rectify them, the registry, which is within its power. We moved regarding ownership of the trademarks, which is the central part of this case, and the court ruled that we did own them based upon over 30 years of continuous exclusive use in commerce in connection with our educational services.
So I'm looking at this May 26 letter, the Joint Appendix 41, where he says he's a founder and director of the Peace Community Church. Quote, there exists a verbal understanding between applicant and the Peace Community Church that any and all materials, et cetera, right? So now, why isn't that evidence of an agreement?
Your Honor, that is merely evidence that one board member or officer, because he declares himself present.
Well, this is summary judgment, right? We're at summary judgment here, right?
That's correct.
So we have to accept this is true. Give all inferences in his favor.
That's correct.
So why isn't this at least sufficient evidence to go to trial that there may have been an agreement?
Because it's not a genuine issue of material fact, Your Honor. It's indicia that he was writing to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office in response to an office action which asked him to clarify his relationship with the corporations. He indicated only that he reviewed and approve the material.
Okay, you might win that at trial, but why isn't this sufficient to survive a motion for summary judgment? That's my only question.
Your Honor,
You might well be right.
I believe, actually, that the registration at issue that you're dealing with is the corporate logo registration, and that we moved on the corporate logo registrations where appellees did not, and that as the moving party, we only have the burden to show an insufficient issue to send to a jury, and I do not believe that alone is a sufficient issue to send this to a jury or raises a material issue, a genuine issue of material fact. Which brings me back to my argument, Your Honor. Appellant's arguments are based on two fatal misunderstandings of law. They They continuously confuse registrations with trademark rights. The established law of every state and the federal law is that trademark rights only accrue through use, and mere registrations do not confer rights. The registration process is a mechanism to publicly centralize already existing rights. In the instant case, the appellants don't allege that Dr. Cole ever used the rights prior to the appellees. They don't allege anything beyond the fact that he controlled the companies, which is contrary to both the law and the facts, and would establish an unacceptable precedent regarding officers and directors acting in their self-interest, adverse to their fiduciary obligations to the nonprofit boards they serve. Therefore, Your Honors, in conclusion, the lower court properly held that the appellees Inner Peace Movement and Peace Community Church own the trademarks based on close to 40 years of continuous exclusive use, that they are not related companies with regard to Dr. Cole, and that he executed the registrations in his representative capacity on behalf of the two nonprofit appellees.
That last part is very difficult to sustain, given that he checked the box individual.
We believe that's a mistake, Your Honor, and if it is not, if the facts were different.
Well, isn't that a factual issue?
Well, it is a factual issue, but the registration is void.
I mean, you threw it in there in your litany, and so I'm challenging you on it, but I think your broader argument is it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, Your Honor. The legal status quo between these parties will not change with regard to who owns those registrations. The only issue is who owns the trademarks. If those issues are void, the appellees intend to re-register the marks immediately in their own names and continue using them as they have. Therefore, we respectfully request that you affirm the lower court's rule. Thank you.
Thank you. Does Mr. Ayers have any?
One minute.
Okay. You have 1 minute, Mr. Ayers.
Would you address this specific question?
Then I won't.
Would you address this specific question about whether or not there's any evidence in the record of an agreement or an allegation that there is one? An agreement.
Yes.
Between Dr. Cole and the nonprofits through which he controlled the trademark, the use of the trademark.
As far as an agreement of control, I don't think that you would ever get a situation where control was more in evidence. Here is a meeting of the board of the subscribers of Inner Peace Movement. Sherry Buchanan, who's one of the dismissed defendants, proposed that for continuity for the structure, the founder, Dr. Cole, shall have an overreaching and everlasting veto power over actions of the board.
That wasn't my question. My question was, and actually maybe you just answered it. So you're not alleging that there is a specific agreement between him and the nonprofit that's independent of his control of the nonprofit, right?
I'm saying that for all of these 40 years, Dr. Cole controlled every aspect of use of the marks, that he had such control over the board of directors that he dissolved them for about 3 years, and then let the board of directors resume, that this was not a corporation where there can be an issue over who had control. Dr. Cole was the founder, he was the leader. There was no aspect he did not completely control, and he put it in here the amended and restated bylaws of Peace Community Church. The founder, Dr. Francisco Cole, shall have an absolute an overriding power of veto.
Okay, we have your argument, Mr. Ayers.
Okay,
you.
I'm sorry if I haven't directly addressed what Judge Tatel was asking.
No, you answered my question. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.